We're doing Maaseh Shimshon. We're up to the conclusion of Chelek Chet. And the Philistines have asked Shimshon, tell us your riddle. And Shimshon says, "Im chidati zot tachpitzu ladat," if you want to know my riddle, this riddle of mine, "Hatu oznechem li'imrefiata." So listen to what I'm saying now. Me'ochel yatza ochel. From the consumer came out food. U'miniyaz matok. And from that which is brazen came out sweet. Behold, I told you my riddle, now you tell me the interpretation. If not, then at least keep your word. I'm going to wait for you 7 days, and now let's enjoy this good day, this day where everything's great. And we discussed last time, Shimshon speaks about Eit Lismoach, right? This is a time to be festive, right? And we said that there is really no such pasuk, Eit Lismoach. Now, we look, Shimshon says, Hatu oznechem le'imre fi. Listen to what I have to say. That appears twice in Tanakh. Hatu oznechem. It's interesting, if we open to Psalms, Tehillim Ayin Ches. Psalms 78. Maskil da Asaf, you guys have it? We have the following song composed by Asaf. Ha'azina ami Torati, my nation, hear my Torah. Hatu oznechem nimrefi, listen closely to what I have to say. Eftechav mashal pi abi achidot mini kedem, I will tell you proverbs, I will tell you riddles that are ancient. Notice the key word we were looking for over here is Hatu Oznechem. Listen closely. And yet in this psalm, what Asaf is saying is, listen closely, because what I say has more depth than you'll see at first glance. And I'm going to discuss with you our history, our Jewish history, and the fact that whenever God was with us, we always turned our back on Him. And in spite of that, God came back to help us. One of the interesting verses, this is a psalm that really records Jewish history from the Exodus down to King David's time, and maybe even more than that. He describes the fall of Israel, and then he says, God suddenly awoke, Pasuk Samech Hei, towards the end of the psalm. Vayikatz ki yashen Hashem. God arose as though He had been sleeping, ki gibo mitronen miyayin, like a mighty warrior who's shaking off his wine. It's just interesting that this is the chapter it's being alluded to. It's a little similar to what happened to Shimshon in the end. But at any rate, coming back to the main point of the chapter of the psalm, Asaf is saying, I want to discuss with you repentance, I want to discuss with you Jewish history, and I'm going to discuss it with proverbs and riddles. And as you hear my riddles, look beyond the surface and you'll get messages that will help you come back to God. I wonder, when Ramchal put these words as the introductory words of Samson's riddle, was he simply taking words that reference a riddle? Hatu oznechem, listen closely, Asaf says before he gives his riddles. In fact, over there, the riddle is really just a deeper proverb. It's a proverb which requires more thought to decipher. It's not really a riddle. Over here, we have to wonder, is Shimshon really simply placing a riddle before them? Or is he perhaps also trying to give them a hidden message? We understood the simple message of the riddle. They, the Philistines, are the consumer. From the consumer came out a wonderful wife for Samson. Instead of devouring Samson, they produce him the greatest wife. That we said is the simple understanding of the riddle. But maybe there's something deeper. Maybe Shimshon is telling the Philistines something about themselves and their personal responsibility and their potential to do tshuva, and the fact that each and every one of them doesn't have to be the ochel, the consumer. If we, the Jews, are the ochel, the one being consumed, so I want you to know that from the consumer can also come out some food, can also come out something, a Jew. In the time of the destruction of the Second Temple, there were tens of thousands of Romans who converted to Judaism. Now that they had come to Israel and they understood what Judaism was, they switched sides. Many, many, many converted. We have special institutions from that period for converts, simply because there were so many converts at the time.
Just during the second destruction of the temple?
After, yeah. And we today have many German converts. So, Shimshon says, listen closely. And it's an interesting pasuk that Ramchal takes the words listen closely from. Et divreichem elai takimu. Shimshon says, and if you don't figure out the riddle, keep your word. So, that's a central theme here. Will the Philistines keep their word? We had a pact with the Philistines. We won't harm them. They won't harm us. Yet they turned on their pact. From Avraham Avinu, from the days of Abraham, we had this pact. And we tried sticking to our end, but they didn't try to stick to theirs. On the contrary, they oppressed us. So Shimshon, when he says these words, keep your end of the deal, keep your word, perhaps he's alluding to something else. And then he says, but now it is a good day. Let's rejoice. Let's see the pasuk that we find biyom tova. It appears once in Tanakh, Koheles, the seventh chapter, what they call the seventh chapter. Let's open it up. Koheles, Ecclesiastes. Shlomo HaMelech says, we'll skip to the 10th verse, Al Tomar, okay, maybe we'll skip to the 8th verse, Tov Acharit Davar Mereshito, the conclusion is better than the beginning, Tov Erech Ruach Megevar Ruach, better someone patient than someone arrogant, Al Tevehel Beruchach Alichos, Ki Chas Bechek Kesilim Yanuach, don't be quick to anger, because anger is the hallmark of the fool. אל תאמר מה היה שהימים הראשונים היו טובים מאלה, כי לא מחוכמה שאלת על זה. Don't say, what happened? It used to be so much better. That's not a smart request. And I think we did this.
Yeah, we've done this.
So we did do this. Okay. And then ביום טובה יהיה וטוב. So now let's move forward. So we're going on to the ninth section. חלק תת. We're back in the play. חלק תת. וילכו רשת שמשון. So the Philistines go to Samson's wife, ki tefate isha, she should seduce her husband. Ve'yagid la achida, ve'yitagid lahim. He will reveal the riddle, she'll tell them. And they come to her and say, halo at achotenu. Aren't you our sister? Aren't you our sister? Mishoshenu hapore miben timnata. From our fruitful root, from amidst Timnat, lo naamine foki timasivanu v'chirekam tashivi et panenu. We don't believe that you suddenly hate us, that you'll turn on us, that you'll send us back empty-handed. Ke'eta sheratanu chalot panayich. Here we've come to beg you. Im tovi lishma lefatot et ishech v'yaged lanu divrei chidato. If you'll agree to seduce your husband, and he will tell us the solution to his riddle. And here we have an interesting play on words. They're saying he will tell us, as if they're trying to hide the fact that it will pass through her. In other words, maybe they're alluding to the idea that he knows you're one of us, and obviously you don't keep secrets from us, so if he tells you, so he's telling us. So they're saying it in a way that it's easier for her to swallow, to tell her, betray her for your husband now on our behalf. It's not going to be so much fun for her. They tell her, get him to tell us. So they're painting it in a way that she can actually swallow. Ki in tacharishi. Because if you will be silent, we will pour our wrath at you and burn you in your father's house. But the words that Ramchal chose, ki im tacharishi, where do we find those words? Ki im hacharish tacharishi ba'et hazot. Mordechai says to Esther.
Okay.
He says, it's a terrible time for the Jewish people. If you will be silent now, if you don't go to Ahasuerus, God will help us. We have nothing to worry about, but you will lose. And so, I'm not sure how to understand why Ramchal put those words in the mouth of the Philistines. If you'll be silent. I think, perhaps, he is trying to point out to us the irony. When Mordechai comes to Esther and tells her to go to Ahasuerus, what he's really telling her is, with this move, I've lost you. Because halachically, the second she willingly goes to Ahasuerus, then halachically, she can no longer go back to be his wife. Once a woman willingly consents to be, even under such circumstances, to be with Ahasuerus, so she can no longer go back to being his wife. So Mordechai is giving up his own personal benefit. He says, you must go, Esther. If you'll be silent, believe me, God will find another way to save us. But maybe this is why you were put in this position. You have to do it. You could save the whole Jewish people. Maybe this is your purpose in life. And so he willingly gives up his marriage on behalf of the better good, something of severe importance. What's happening here is the exact opposite. You have 30 bums who just don't want to pay. For that small amount of money, they're willing to destroy someone else's marriage, which they effectively do. So here they are saying, I don't want to pay. Go seduce him. Get the information out of him. Because if you don't, we're going to hurt you.
What does tacharishi mean?
Be silent. Chayresh is someone who's deaf, but chayresh is also silent. So they're telling her, if you'll be silent, and I think Ramchal is juxtaposing the Philistine claim versus Mordechai's claim. Mordechai is willing to destroy his own marriage for the benefit of others, and they, to save a few shekels, are willing to destroy someone else's marriage. So it's the exact opposite. Mordechai is completely selfless, and they are completely selfish. The fact that this will destroy her marriage and her husband's marriage, that's irrelevant. They have to save a few shekels.
But could it also be that when Mordechai is telling Esther, it's because she has the potential to save the Jewish nation? And very much so could be the same with Shimshon right now. If this were a good marriage, and if she was quiet, then possibly Shimshon could have the power to save the Jewish nation and to stop the Philistine problem at that time.
Why? I'm saying, how would that fit in? How would she being a good wife have helped him win the Philistines? Because the verses say ki to'anahu mivakesh, he was looking to have claims, personal claims against the Philistines, so that when he fought them, the rest of Israel wouldn't be held accountable. So that's why he went to marry her. So It definitely doesn't seem like he expected her to be faithful. He didn't expect things to run smoothly. So, the simple reading of the prophecy, the prophet Shoftim, seems like they fell into his trap. He intended that they would do things that would prove how unfaithful they were, and then he would have a personal vendetta with them. So they tell her, "Haim tiktzai yadeni masotzot? Do you think we can't hurt you? Imri henat." Now that's also tiktzai yadeni is a play on words because God says, "Does ha'im katsra yadi? Is it beyond me from saving you?" That's what God says, and here Ramchal put those words in their mouth. Imri henat teidai olechil yoshenu atak ratem lanu. You know the truth, or maybe you brought us here to clean us out. If your soul and the soul of your family is precious in your eyes, then heyi le'eshet chayil, be a woman of valor. Wow, this is the woman of valor. Seduce your husband, take the secrets, give it to us. So the truth is that very often you can convince someone that this is what being pious is all about. It's one of the things con men often do. They use religion. That's the idea behind many of the cults. A person wants to control other people, so he can convince them, you know, I'm a prophet, I'm a god, I'm a this, I'm a that. And then he gets what he wants out of them. There is a constant confusion within marriage where the term Eishes Chayil, like the woman of valor, is very often elusive. Women often feel within their relationship that they're not exactly sure what they're supposed to do to be that Eishes Chayil. I've heard women speaking among themselves and saying that every time their husband sings Eishes Chayil, they feel like he's taking them on a guilt trip. Like, I don't do that, and I don't do that, and I don't do that either. I'm not the Eishes Chayil, right? So there's this perpetual feeling of, how can I actually do this right? How can I do this and he'll be happy? How can I be that Eishes Chayil? So perhaps Ramchal is touching on that sensitivity when he says the Philistines were able to seduce her or to persuade her by telling her, this is how you'll be an Eishes Chayil. It's interesting that the wording they use is, if your soul and the soul of your family is yikara. The term yakar in Tanakh almost always appears about stones. Even yikara. You find it about stones, about silver. You find it about precious items. In two places, you find it about a soul. King Saul, when he speaks about himself, he says to David, "Me'asher yakra nafshi be'inecha, you spared me. My soul was valuable to you. You could have killed me in the cave when I went in and no one else was there. It was only you and your men and me, and I didn't see you." So there he uses the term. And there's one other place in Proverbs. And with this we'll have to end. If we open to Proverbs, what they call the 6th chapter.
One other thing.
It's interesting that in this chapter we also find the word eifo, like they used in the beginning, asizot eifo, in the beginning of their speech. And towards the end, he speaks about the things that God hates. And then he says, be careful, the Torah will protect you from a bad woman, from a foreign woman who talks smoothly. Pasuk Chaf Hei, Al Tachmod Yofya Bilvavecha. Don't covet her beauty in your heart. Val Tikachacha Be'afapeha. Don't let her seduce you with her eyelashes. Ki Va'adi Shazonad Ki Kalachim. Because a woman of ill repute can bring a person down to a loaf of bread, ve'eshet ish, and even a married woman, if she's trying to be seductive, nefesh yikara tatzud. She can hunt down even a precious soul. So here you find the term nefesh yikara. Interesting, we're out of time, so maybe we'll pick up here b'zachim next week.